Hey, Hemp Rockers, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WVQC.org. WVQC, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views of WVQC, Media Bridges, its staff, or its board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock Radio or our guests. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio.
I smoke two joints in the morning. I smoke two joints at night. I smoke two joints in the afternoon. It makes me feel alright. I smoke two joints in time of peace and two in time of war. I smoke two joints before I smoke two joints, and then I smoke two more. Hard work good and hard work fine, but first take care of health. So now I smoke two joints when I get up. In the car I smoke two joints. I smoke two joints when I play video game, and at every 10,000 points I smoke two joints. I smoke two joints in time of peace and two in time of war. I smoke two joints before I smoke two joints.
It's the Monday edition, and welcome to Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress and the Burn Man here on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC-LP, the voice of the Queen City on WVQC.org, and coming soon to 95.7 FM. Find us online at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 684-HEMP.
Man. My mama, she once told me, son, you do the best you can. But then one day, I met a man who came to me and said, hard work good and hard work fine, just take care of it. That's why I smoke two joints in the morning. I smoke two joints at night. I smoke two joints in the afternoon. It makes me feel alright. I smoke two joints in time of peace and two in time of war. I smoke two joints before I smoke two joints, and then I smoke two more. Smoke two joints. That's what I do. Smoke two joints. Come and smoke two joints with me in the morning. Smoke two joints. Come and smoke two joints.
Now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including music, news, talk, and lots of fun here on the all-new WVQC Cincinnati.
That's what I do.
A little bit of you like about something went down in Jerusalem. We don't know what it was. Something went down in Jerusalem. Was it Allah or aliens? No photos of what happened in Jerusalem. They had no CNN. Something went down, surely something went. Away, they might have come here on vacation.
If you just tuned in, this is Hemp Rock Radio. I am the Happy Hemptress. He is the Burn Man on the pot dials. And if you caught the opening song, it was Smoke Two Joints. Of course, that's our opener song from the Toys. Also from the Toys before that was actually Something Went Down in Jerusalem. And, you know, it's Christmas week coming up. And we definitely feel like something went down in Jerusalem. And that is the Christmas myth, so that's why we wanted to play that. We've got a few more Christmas cuts coming up, and some stories. I'm going to get to one story coming out of Hollywood this week, Rethinking Marijuana in the Movies. The MPAA is fooling itself more than protecting children by giving an R rating to It's Complicated for a scene depicting marijuana use. This comes from Robert Ablon out of LA Times. A minor ruckus has erupted in Hollywood over the R rating assigned to the Meryl Streep romantic comedy It's Complicated, as reported in the Times December 10th post on the Company Town blog. It's Complicated, but It's Complicated, that's the full title of the movie, will be released with an R rating, according to the Times. Those familiar with the Motion Picture Association of America, that's the MPAA, and their hearings on the movie say a scene featuring pot smoking with no bad consequences was key to the decision, but imagine the ratings wars that the MPAA's latest warnings will ignite. This film is R-rated for brief alcohol use portrayed in a positive light. This film is R-rated for pervasive cigarette smoking by sympathetic characters. This film is R-rated for aberrant overeating and intense caloric consumption. Those are his scenarios in the future. Wait, you say you haven't seen these warnings? Not a one? That's because of the MPAA, the powerful group that rates movies, has never much cared for consistency. So while few parents would want their children to engage in any of the activities listed above, let alone the violence frequently splattered across screens, only in the most extreme cases do these behaviors move the MPAA to issue an R rating. But illicit drugs are a different story, and the MPAA seems intent on scrubbing even less restrictive ratings clean of any depiction of marijuana that fails to show the substance in a sufficiently negative light. The ratings board made its intentions clear when it slapped an R rating on It's Complicated for including a brief, realistic depiction of adult marijuana use. The movie also briefly bears the buttocks of a double for Alec Baldwin.
Ooh.
But according to industry insiders, the reason for the R rating is marijuana. The film dares to show beloved stars Baldwin and Streep casually using marijuana and enjoying it, followed by Streep dangling a joint in front of Steve Martin, all without suffering any adverse consequences. To be fair, it is complicated. The MPAA empowers parents to make informed choices about their kids' viewing habits. But in this case, the characters are doing nothing more than what countless American adults do responsibly every day. And when you consider this current social and political landscape in which California lawmakers are considering legislation to tax and regulate marijuana, like alcohol, and 13 states have legalized marijuana for medical use, you have to wonder whether we're just burying our heads in the sand when we pretend that marijuana hasn't already gone mainstream. Wouldn't it be better to acknowledge reality and be honest and direct with kids, sending the simple message that marijuana, like alcohol, is for adults, and as a society, we can manage it rationally and responsibly? In the meantime, our children do have other more wholesome film options that carry the lesser rating of PG-13. Consider, for example, the ambitious epic 2012, which tells the heartwarming story of global annihilation just a few years down the road. On a more intimate scale, there's the inspirational Armored, featuring a crew of gun-toting armored guards who plot a robbery that goes violently awry. Alternately, adolescents can check out the latest incarnation of Sherlock Holmes. It's generously packed with violence and pipe-puffing, but the MPAA tagged it PG-13, so it must be okay for kids. Ultimately, between TV and the internet, movies and video games, real life and imaginary play, kids these days are going to be exposed to just about everything. So the idea that we can keep them in the dark about adult marijuana use makes no more sense than refusing to talk to kids about sex and hoping they won't discover it for themselves. It is true that images have an impact and words have an impact, so parents are right to be attentive to what their kids watch, hear, and do. But it's also true that the example that kids follow most closely is not what they see on the screen, but what they experience in their own home. The MPAA can issue ratings in the name of protecting the children from now until the end of time, or 2012, whichever comes first. But in this case, the only people they're really sheltering from the truth are themselves. Again, Robert Ablon, he's a writer living in Oakland, or Oaksterdam, as it's now called. And you can find that story up on the latimes.com/news/opinion pages. And, you know, here's my opinion. It's just ridiculous. I totally agree with this man. We can put sex and violence, or minor sex and violence, obviously, if they're giving PG ratings to a lot of these films. Yet if you have adult use of marijuana, even kids use of marijuana, I don't care which one, folks. The fact is that becomes an R rating. And here's the thing. Does that stop the kids from seeing it? No. They can still go in with their parents or somebody over 18. And here's the other thing. This was done in a study, I'm not quite sure how long ago, probably within the last decade, I believe. I saw it on Scientific American Frontiers on PBS. Y'all know who Alan Alda is from MASH. He's the host. He went and reported on this study that was done. They take these children. They're about 6 years old, all of them. And they have the one study group and the other study group. And the first study group has a full meal before the study. They take them, sit them down in a nice room, and have them sit at a table, kid size, with a bunch of food in different little bowls all compartment, popcorn in one, gummy bears in another one, Snickers in another one, all the, M&Ms, little finger candy food, all candy, and snacks, all separated in front of them. And next to that was a piece of paper and coloring stuff and crayons. And the first control group was told, we're going to go out of the room. I'm going to go out of the room for about 15 minutes. For that 15 minutes, you can do whatever you want. You can sit here and eat any of your snacks, or you can draw, your choice. Now remember, both groups had a full meal before they went into the study groups. The first children, they sat there, they kind of looked around at the food and even kind of ran their fingers. And the one little girl, her favorite thing was popcorn, and she kind of looked at the popcorn and went, I don't want any. I think I'll draw. And she starts drawing. And then the next study group, they bring in the kids, and they fed them too. But they told them something differently. They come in, they sit them down at the table with all the snacks, their favorite snacks, again. paper and coloring stuff and crayons, and the adult says, now I'm going to go out of the room and come back in 15 minutes. For that 15 minutes, you know, this is about the food, so we don't want you eating anything yet. You can have all the snacks you want after I come back in 15 minutes. The first 15 minutes, just take your time, wait for us, we got to take care of some things. Go ahead and draw pictures, and we're going to go out of the room. But remember, you can't eat any of your snacks till we get back. They leave the room, and within 20 seconds, the kid, not even 20, 10 seconds, all these kids are like devouring the food. They're like gorging one popcorn and then eating a gummy bear and the M&Ms, all just eating it, looking at the door to make sure that they're not being watched and not going to get caught in that first 15 minutes to eat that food. They weren't hungry. They had just as much, if not more, food than the first study group, but they were told they couldn't, so they wanted it. Now, same thing with the movie, same thing with marijuana and everything else, I guess, for that matter. But specifically to this story, giving a movie an R rating is no different from telling the kid they can't eat it. They're going to. They're definitely going to. So I think we have a song cued, right, Chuck?
Yeah.
Number two on that bottom CD. Watch your... And of course, if you just tuned in, this is Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress. He is the Burn Man on the dials, and we got a song coming up here on Hemp Rock Radio. We'll be back.
If God had long hair and a goatee, and if his eyes were pretty glazed, if he looked spaced out, would you buy?
Hi, I'm Colonel Cannabis, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, coming soon to Cincinnati's 95.7 FM.
All right. That was, actually, I forget who did that song, but of course it's a copy, a remake, as they say, of another song. And what if God smoked cannabis? Well, if God smoked cannabis, of course I believe he does. I think that God does smoke cannabis because I think God made cannabis. So in celebration of God, however you believe in him, whether it's through Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and all the other things, and there's probably so many of them I can't remember them. To me, it's all about God. Doesn't matter what the celebration is. And although I celebrate all things and none at the same time, I do believe that God made cannabis and smokes it. Anyway, if you just tuned in, this is Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress, and he is the Burn Man on the Pots. And this is WVQC.org you are listening to. Don't forget, folks, in the future, very soon, we will be not only streaming on the internet to the world, we will be speaking to the local Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky folks and the surrounding areas that 3 to 5 mile radius out of 100 watts will get us as soon as that transmitter goes up. And always don't forget, we take all donations here at WVQC. $30 is a membership, and that makes you a member. And anything more is just because you love us and you want to see us do more. If you're a band out there, there are a lot of really cool shows on that do local music. And just go to the website, WVQC.org, check it out. Go to the schedule. You get to see all the different shows and which ones have music. We have music if you're a band out there in the whole world, such as those that have won awards or been nominated or entered into the Marijuana Music Awards, or locals, or regional, or wherever. If you have songs that you want to have played on Hemp Rock Radio, you know what to do. Give us a call at 684-HEMP, 513 area code, or go to hemprock.com and get us your music. And although I didn't have a chance for today to get any local music, I might be able to get a few in for tomorrow along with some of our Christmas stuff. But I'm going to move on really quick to a story coming out of, Somerset County. Maybe it'll tell me where the state. Oh, New Jersey. That's right. I'm going to go through this very quickly because, you know, if you ever get on the jury, you have the ability to not only do jury nullification, which is if you don't feel that the person is guilty even though they committed the crime because, for instance, the law is not good, or maybe they had a good reason to do what they did, or you just think the person's not guilty. You have that ability as a juror to do that. Go to FIJA. FIJA.org and find out about what that is. Now, I don't know that that's what this jury was thinking, but this jury did the right thing in most of the stuff. This is a Somerset County man found not guilty of operating a marijuana facility. This comes out of the Star Ledger out of New Jersey. Jurors have found a Somerset County man not guilty of the most serious charges against him, operating a drug facility out of his home where he was growing 17 marijuana plants, drugs he said he used to treat his multiple sclerosis. John Ray Wilson, no relation to me, 37 of Franklin Township, was found guilty of second-degree manufacturing and third-degree drug possession for the processed marijuana and some psilocybin mushrooms that the state police confiscated on August 18, 2008, from the dwelling he rented on Skillman's Lane. He was found not guilty of first-degree maintaining or operating a drug production facility. Now, I have to stop. I skimmed this. I did not see the part about the mushrooms, and I don't know why this guy had mushrooms, but I will tell you this. There actually is medical use of psilocybin mushrooms. You can look it up, folks. Studies are being done, have been done, that show that psilocybin mushrooms, not to digress onto another substance, another natural substance of medical use, but it stops and helps prevent cluster migraine headaches. You can look it up, folks, as well as some other headaches, but specifically the cluster style, I believe. Now, I don't know that that's what he was doing, but I wanted to get that in there. Also, moving on, Robert Serino, Star Ledger, John Wilson, they were in court today after a jury found him not guilty on the most serious drug charge, but guilty on two other counts. Testimony started Tuesday in Somerville before Superior Court Judge Robert Reed, and the attorneys delivered closing arguments this morning. The jury deliberated right before lunch and came to a decision before 4 p.m. And supporters of the New Jersey Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act hail Wilson's case as a prime example of why legislators need to quickly pass the bill that would give the patients of debilitating diseases structured access to the drug. During the trial, Reed barred references to Wilson's disease, having previously ruled that personal use is not a defense, and mention of his illness could give him a sympathetic reason for breaking the law. Reed, however, allowed only one reference to Wilson's multiple sclerosis. Wilson was allowed to testify that he told police he was not a drug dealer, but was growing the plants to treat his multiple sclerosis. Defense lawyer James Ronco used that to cast doubt on the testimony from the detectives, who responded after a National Guard helicopter pilot spotted the plants. The officers testified that they did not discuss his reasons for growing the plants. And the end is, that leads you to a credibility determination, he told the jurors, the lawyer did. You can conclude that somebody lied to you. You have the ability to disregard their entire testimony. Makes no sense that the officers would not query Wilson about the plants, considering he made that mention to them during the arrest. If you want the rest of that story, you can go to nj.com/news and find the story on The gentleman who is named once again. All right, what did I just do with it? My goodness. Oh, goodness. John Ray Wilson. John Ray Wilson. Go look it up and you can get the rest of that story. It's a great story. And more juries are going to start doing that. And I encourage more juries. I'm not playing jury tampering. I'm not talking about any case in particular. I can say this. If you get on the jury, it doesn't matter what the case, find them not guilty. And that can change a whole lot of things. Again, if you just tuned in, this is Hemp Rock Radio. I am the Happy Hemptress. He is Chuck the Burn Man. And he's going to play a number three clip on the top real quick. And we'll be back.
Oh, come all ye grateful, deadheads to the concert. Oh, come grateful, deadheads and care in the streets. Bring rolling papers, don't forget your sleeping bags.
Oh, come get us some floor seats.
We follow them. Oh, come get us some floor seats to see the Lord. Come all ye hippies, throwbacks to the 60s. Paint flowers on your van and don't wash your feet.
Oh, come, let us adore them.
We quit our day jobs for them. Oh, come, let us adore them. Garcia's the Lord.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than a half million Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
You're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, coming soon to Cincinnati's 95.7 FM.
Well, it's Christmas time again. Well, I've been calling all my friends. Well, there ain't no weed to buy, so I won't be getting high unless I smoke these seeds and stems. I called my old friend Mike. Well, he asked me what I'd like. I'd like to find some Christmas pot. I enjoy smoking a lot in this town so fucking dry. But Christmas without weed is like the bulb without the tree. The bowl without the dough is like a sleigh without the snow. Can someone help me, please? Now the snowflakes start to fall. I still can't find no weed at all. Not a nickel or a dime. I'm running out of time, and I've started to withdraw. Christmas without weed is like the bulbs without the tree. A bowl without the dough is like a sleigh without the snow. Can someone help me, please? dear Santa, won't you bring to me a big old sack of weed? Well, I'll be good next year, I swear. If you could find some pot to spare, and you could help a friend in need. Christmas without weed is like the bulbs without the tree. The bowl without the dough is like the sleigh without the snow. Can someone help me, please? Santa, don't you care? I've been pulling out my hair. Could you bring some pot to me?
Okay, we are back here on Hemp Rock Radio on WVQC.org. We apologize for some of those technical difficulties. We were having issues with the CD player, and I think we have it together. You might have heard a couple of songs twice. I don't know. One of those, of course, was A Grateful Christmas. That song goes out to all the Grateful Dead fans out there and beyond. And that last song, of course, was one of the American marijuana music winners. Song, of course, was A Christmas Without Weed, and you know, nobody wants a Christmas without weed. That's Chief Greenbud, let me say that again, out of Tennessee, one of our winners with the Marijuana Music Awards. I might have played something else in there, I don't remember. Anyway, don't forget, in the future, we will be having interviews as well as lots of other things that we talk about on our Monday and Tuesday show. And, of course, we are always here Monday and Tuesdays, 1 o'clock Eastern till 2 p.m. And in the future, there's going to be a telephone in here. They're getting a brand new phone that will allow you, the listener, as well as our guests, to come into the show and be a part of it. And we encourage that in the future. In the meantime, if you just want to be a part of it, of course, you can go to hemprock.com and not only join our email list, you can also leave your message if you want to put a message out over the air here on the Hemp Rock Radio Show. Now, I want to move on. We've got about maybe 15 minutes or so. Nope, we got about 20 minutes or so left. And one thing I am just thoroughly excited about. Now, of course, this isn't necessarily true yet, so I don't have to do my political disclaimer yet. But it's a potential. This comes out of MSNBC. Former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson announced on the morning meeting show on MSNBC that he's considering running for president in 2012. Now, of course, you know, for you folks who believe that the world is coming to an end in 2012, I guess it doesn't really matter. But I'm personally not one that believes that. I believe that it might be the end of the world as we know it, especially if Gary Johnson becomes president.
Yeah.
Boy, if Gary, you want to put your mic on, Chuck? If Gary Johnson becomes president, boy, that's even better than Obama as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure most of the people in this movement with us, because Gary Johnson, formerly of New Mexico, governor, preceded, of course, Bill Richardson, who's phenomenal and just lambasting away on medical marijuana in his state, following, of course, Gary Johnson's urging of medical marijuana in his state. I believe he's also part, and I'm not for sure on this, so we can double check that for later, but I believe he's also on an advisory committee for the DPA, the Drug Policy Alliance, or at least at one time he was. There is a very strong chapter of DPA in New Mexico, and I believe the woman running that, or the one that had started that, I don't have current news on that. She came from Gary Johnson's administration as well. Anyway, he came out four squared behind re-legalizing marijuana. He out-argued a Republican strategist on the show with a brief outline of why he supports re-legalization. His website is OurAmericaInitiative.com.
There are position links to several issues on that as well. So you definitely want to go there. I'll say it again. OurAmericaInitiative.com is Gary Johnson's website. And definitely go there and tell him, yay, we want you for president. If he'd have ran for president the last time, I would have voted for him. Instead, I voted in the Democratic Party for Bill Richardson, his predecessor. So we definitely want to keep you abreast of that in the future shows on what's going to happen in the next presidential election and whether he will really do that. In the meantime, of course, you know, whether or not people want to admit this or not, in some circles, Obama really is doing a good job for our movement, at least. Now, along with him, of course, the American Medical Association, I want to remind everybody, a few weeks ago, put out of a resolution. They adopted the resolution calling for the government to review its classification of marijuana to take it out of Class 1, which is totally restricted, and put it down into at least a medical category. And even before that, Obama, as some of you know, and if you didn't, I will let you know, he made a grand move by calling the DEA off any medical state that's not violating federal law. Now, he didn't change federal law, but if you live in Michigan, California, Oregon, all these other states, including New Mexico, as long as you're doing your medical marijuana according to their state rules, you're not violating federal rules anymore, and they will not bust you, and they will not bother you, and they will not take you to federal court. Now, that doesn't help the guys that are sitting in federal jail now. So we hope that that's going to change soon and get people like Eddie Lepp and others out of federal prison. But here's the thing. You know, we talk a lot about medical. And you've got people like the DEA and other organizations opposed to us on this. Of course, claiming that there is no medical efficacy and all that kind of stuff. Yet, there's a story coming out of the Science Daily. I'll do a quick brief on this, just to give you an example of what the truth is of medical marijuana. Cannabis hope for inflammatory bowel disease. Chemicals found in cannabis could prove an effective treatment for the inflammatory bowel disease, ulcerative colitis, and Crohn's disease, say scientists. Laboratory tests have shown that two compounds found in the cannabis plant, that's cannabinoids THC and cannabidiol, interact with the body's system that controls gut function. Boy, I can attest to that. Of course, now I've discovered over the years that a lot of problems that people have, including myself, are enzymatic problems, meaning that you don't have enough enzymes to digest food. That causes a lot of acid reflux, and they give you other drugs that stop the acid instead of controlling it and making the levels correct. And that's what enzymes do, and acidophilus and probiotics, and that's what I do. I could have probably been diagnosed with some of these other problems, but instead I found out, hey, I'm just lactose intolerant, folks. I don't have enough enzymes to digest the milk sugar, and that is the same thing for other types of food. So when I take my enzymes, I'm a completely different person than if I don't. And not to digress onto that, but I encourage everybody who has any kind of bowel disorder, no matter what it is, marijuana, eating, and smoking can help that. But moving on to this story again. Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, which affect about 1 in every 250 people in Northern Europe, are caused by both genetic and environmental factors. The researchers believe that a genetic susceptibility coupled with other triggers such as diet, stress, and bacterial imbalance leads to a defective immune response. Now, I'm not a doctor, folks, so I'm not telling you I know everything, but just reading this, okay? Environmental factors. Number one is what you eat and what's around you. Both genetic, of course, such as myself, I'm Jewish descent of European descent, and a lot of my people, my tribe, have issues with dairy because we were used to goat's milk long time ago. So I have no issues with goat's milk. And if your ancestry was raised in an area that only had certain foods, it's going to be in that DNA down the road that's how things affect you. You work better with the things that your DNA is used to and maybe have a little bit of an issue with other things. And so that's why they say people of North European descent have that problem. Again, diet, what you eat. If you're eating something that you can't tolerate, it's going to cause a disruption in your gut. Also, stress. As soon as you get I get mad, folks, my gut starts to hurt, and I know it happens to you too. Now, the bacterial imbalance is what I was talking about probiotics. That's the bacteria in your gut. If you like yogurt, you can eat yogurt. You can also just take the acidophilus capsules, however you can get it, and that also helps put that bacterial balance back into balance. If you have not enough acidophilus, you have too much yeast, that can cause many, many problems, skin and other problems in the body. Or, as the last sentence says, also it leads to a defective immune response. Dr. Karen Wright, Peel Trust Lecturer in Biomedicine at Lancaster University, presented her soon-to-be-published work at the British Pharmacological Society's winter meeting in London. She said, the lining of the intestines provides a barrier against the contents of the gut, but in people with Crohn's disease, this barrier leaks and bacteria can escape into the intestinal tissue, leading to an inappropriate human immune response. Now, she also says, if we could find a way to restore barrier integrity in patients, we may be able to curb the inflammatory immune response that causes these chronic conditions. The body produces its own... working with colleagues at the School of Graduate Entry Medicine and Health in Derby has shown that cells that react to cannabinoid compounds play an important role in normal gut function as well as the immune system's inflammatory response. The body produces its own cannabinoid molecules called endocannabinoids, which we have shown increase the permeability of the epithelium during inflammation, implying that overproduction may be detrimental. However, we were able to reverse this process using plant-derived cannabinoids, which appeared to allow the epithelial cells to form tighter bonds with each other and restore the membrane barrier. This research was carried out using cell cultures in a dish, but interestingly, when the team attempted to mimic the conditions of the gut by reducing the amount of oxygen in the cell's environment, much lower concentrations of a cannabinoid were needed to produce the same effect. Dr. Wright added, what is also encouraging is that while THC has psychoactive properties and is responsible for the high people experience when using cannabis, cannabidiol, which has also proved effective in restoring membrane integrity, does not possess such properties. Now, this all came out of the British Pharmacological Society, as well as a bunch of different papers, ScienceDaily.com, many others. Now, here's the thing. I know personally that cannabis, marijuana, helps gut problems because I use it every day. And I know that somebody else out there that unfortunately can't hear the show right now will also attest to that, somebody else I know personally. But, you know... Also, what they're talking about, you don't have to have colitis in some of these diseases to have what is also called leaking gut syndrome. Sugar and other poor foods, white flour, all the different foods that are processed that have no more nutritional value left, they cause what is called leaky gut syndrome. And what that does is there are, as the paper said, the lining of the gut has holes break into it, and food particles can break loose into the free-floating water system of the body. Now, I know this sounds gross, and some people might think this is off track, but for me it isn't, because it's all part of my life, and I know that this is something that's real, folks. These things can cause rashes, allergic reactions, and other things like that in the body, and marijuana can help that. Now, there's other ways to help that, and although right now we are talking about cannabis, in the future, I am planning a segment, at least one day a week, in one of the hours that we have, Monday and Tuesday at 1 o'clock Eastern, to have at least a 10-minute segment about health and nutrition separate from and part of the cannabis movement. Although there are two separate movements out there, folks, they really are lined up together as far as my life is concerned and many people that I know. Because without your health, it doesn't matter how much pot you smoke and how much you combine it all, if you're not also eating healthy with it. So I want to teach people how to also do that, as well as use the medical marijuana to ease those problems at the time that you're having them, because that's really what it's about. If you change your diet or you do things that can help your stomach, if you have those kind of issues, as well as incorporate marijuana into that regimen, you can really have a better quality of life. Even without eating better, you can. But if you do the both combined, I can assure you that your life will be better. Very quickly, I want to get a couple other stories in. We've got, let's see, it is 7 minutes. So we got about 3 or 4 minutes. Of course, if you just tuned in, this is Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress, and he is Chuck the Burn Man on the dials, the pots, as they're called. But I want to go on to this last story, because it really is about what we're talking about, and that's medicine. Maybe not the last story. I got a couple other things I do have to mention. But this is still on the topic. medically caused death in America. This is from John Rappaport. On July 26, 2000, a U.S. medical community received a titanic shock to the system when one of its most respected and honored public health experts revealed her findings on healthcare in America. This can't be right. Not 2000. This is that's a misprint because that just came out today. Every year in the U.S., there are 12,000 deaths from unnecessary surgeries, 7,000 deaths from medication errors in hospitals, 20,000 deaths from other errors in hospitals, 80,000 deaths from infections acquired in hospitals. Now, not to digress, but quick story. I went to visit my friend's baby with her a couple of years ago. The little boy was a preemie, little Q. The Q man was a preemie, and we went to UC Hospital here in Cincinnati to visit him in the evening. And now the front main doors was closed. It was after regular visiting hours, but she was a nursing mother, could go at any time. So we had to go in through emergency. Now, I like a dummy when I don't eat healthy. I sometimes do stupid things. I went over to the machine and bought some cookies on the way, and I touched the machine in the emergency room. By the next morning, I had a 24-hour flu that was awful. I haven't had anything like that in years or since. And I laid there sick, sitting there thinking, what happened? How did I get sick all of a sudden? And then it hit me. Oh, my God, I went to the hospital last night, walked through the emergency room where there was 50 people sitting around with the flu, and I left with the flu. So I guess I was part of those 80,000, well, not deaths, but more than 80,000 people get infected, but 80,000 people die from infections acquired while they're at the hospital. 106,000 deaths from FDA-approved, correctly prescribed medicines. The total of medically caused deaths in the U.S. every year is about 225,000 people. This makes the medical system the third leading cause of death in the U.S. behind heart disease and cancer. The Starfield study is the most explosive revelation about modern healthcare in America ever published. The credentials of its author and the journal in which it appeared are with the highest medical circles are impeccable. Now, I don't mean to bash the medical industry because they are doing a bang-up job helping me with my wrist. For you folks that don't know, I broke my wrist a few months back, and I'm still healing. And they're doing a great job, and so it really just depends on the situation. Not all doctors are bad. Some are wonderful. So we're not bashing the medical community. As a matter of fact, over 50% of the medical doctors and nurses support ending this drug war that is against this plant. And so, you know, you just have to weigh the odds. If you want to use, you know, that's your choice. Know what your laws are in the different states, and especially if you're in medical. Now, we'll get this tomorrow. We got a couple other stories that I didn't get to. Some of it will be about Czechoslovakia, what's going on over there with personal use of marijuana, and a bunch of other stories. Of course, it is Christmas. And we'll have some more Christmas music, I hope, tomorrow. And if you just tuned in and you missed it, you probably smoked a joint. I am the Happy Hemptress, and he is the burn man on the pot dials. Don't forget, though, if you live in Cincinnati, go to CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com and get some information on the Cincinnati pot laws. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 o'clock.
She was living in a single room with three other individuals. One of them was a male, and the other two, well, the other two were females. God only knows what they were up to in there. And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to learn that all four of them habitually smoke marijuana cigarettes. Reefers.
To Hemp Rock Radio on WVQC Cincinnati at WVQC.org, a member of Media Bridges, Cincinnati's Community Media Center. Hemp Rock Radio airs every Monday and Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern on WVQC.org.
Check out Hemp Rock TV programs in Northern Kentucky on Insight Channel 21 and in Cincinnati on Media Bridges Channel 4 Metro 24. Find Hemp Rock on the web at HempRock.com or on the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP.
Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at WEEDRadioNetwork.com. Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress and the Burn Man has been a Hemp Rock production. Up next is Cincinnati's Conscience with Jay All Day, where hippie meets the hood.